Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. I'm going to read it twice because I'm going to read it first in the New Living Translation, which is the normal translation you'll hear me read from up here, and then I want to read it out of the NIV from the screen. You guys ready to dig into it this morning?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this idea of working it out. Turn to somebody and say, working it out. We're going to be working some stuff out today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I'm going to read that again, but I want to read it out of the NIV translation. Do we have that on the screen? Do we have that? Okay, put that up there for me. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act, to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this moment that we have gathered together today, God, to experience and encounter your glory and your presence in worship and to have your word speak deeply to our hearts today. And Father, I thank you for doing that. I thank you for all those that raised their hand, God, those that prayed the prayer this morning right now and said, God, we're giving our lives to you. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless, move, and let this be the first step of an amazing, amazing new journey in their lives, Lord. Father, for those of us, God, who are continuing, I pray that this would be a deep moment of refreshing, encouraging, learning, growing, and becoming closer to who you've called us to be in Jesus' name. Why don't you put your hand on your belly somewhere, repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my ears. Open up my eyes. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name. Lord, help the Bengals start the season off right. Beat Cleveland. Amen. Amen. And amen. Any fans of YouTube in the house? Any YouTube watchers out there? You guys like YouTube? This is what I've learned about YouTube is no matter how many microphones fall on the floor, no matter how many, we're going to have to buy a new microphone. We're going to take up an offering for a new microphone, guys. we might. I don't know. We'll check that out. Anyway, here's what I've discovered, which is kind of crazy. No matter how many YouTube videos I watch of a professional mechanic taking apart an engine and fixing something deep in the engine-y thing of the car, that will not, somehow me watching someone else do it doesn't typically give me the ability to do the same thing I'm watching someone else do. Isn't that wild? You ever notice that? I love those ones too where like, you're trying to save a little money, trying to figure out how to do something, and you know it's maybe simple, hopefully it's a simple thing, and you watch a mechanic and he's like, yeah, you got to take these 37 bolts off, and then like it just cuts to him taking them all off like it was easy, you know what I mean? He's not sweating at all. Meanwhile, you know it probably took him 10 hours, you know what I'm saying, and 15 busted bolts to get to that one little thing. And it's like, why don't you show me that part, man? Because that's the part where I start thinking about murdering people. You know what I mean? Like, that's the part where I start questioning all my life's choices. You know what I'm saying? But just me, again, me just watching an expert do something, amazingly, doesn't always transfer to me being able to do it. I know it can be done. Same thing, no matter how many videos I watch of powerlifters deadlifting 700, 800, 900 pounds, no matter how many times I watch that on YouTube, I still cannot deadlift 700, 800, 900 pounds. You know what I'm saying? Like I had not. No matter how many times I've watched somebody do anything, it doesn't. Me just watching someone do something doesn't equate to me being able to do it. Amazing, right? Is this new information for you guys? And so that's. That's kind of what Paul is saying here to this church in Philippi in the New Testament. And Paul is actually writing from prison. Paul writes Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians all in the same time frame while he is actually sitting in a jail cell cell for preaching the gospel, and he's writing to encourage some of these churches that he had helped plant and launch back in the book of Acts in that journey. And he's reminding them, he's saying to this church in Philippi, he's saying, hey, you guys were so awesome and were always so faithful when I was with you and when you could see what God was doing in me and you could see how I was working out my walk with God. He was saying, you were great to follow along. And he's encouraging me. He says, but now that you can't see me anymore, you've got to continue to work this thing out on your own, even though I'm not there watching you do it. Amen, somebody? And so there's no amount of me watching someone do it that's gonna translate to me being able to do it. Eventually, I'm going to have to get my hands dirty. I'm going to have to get under the hood. I'm going to have to grab a wrench. Amen? Eventually, I'm going to have to go to the gym. I'm going to have to grab some weight. Eventually, I'm going to have to get in the kitchen and actually cook the thing I've been watching somebody else cook on YouTube, whatever. Eventually, I've got to do it for myself if I'm ever going to actually figure out what it means to do that thing. Amen, somebody? And so Paul says, now that I'm not there, you guys are going to have to figure out how to work out this thing called salvation. You're going to have to figure out, and you're going to have to walk out, and you're going to have to work out your relationship with Jesus, even though nobody may be there watching you. Amen? And this brings me to the first thing I want to say that we've got to understand as a church. And we've got to understand it in a way that I think we sometimes miss in the way that we have set up and have become accustomed to living for God and living for Jesus, because so much of it revolves around this moment right here, this hour and a half, 2 hours right here, okay? The problem is when you leave here, there's about 365 other hours in your life before the next time we're going to be together. Amen? And so church is an amazing place and probably, to my knowledge, one of the best places to meet Jesus and to be given an opportunity and to be given some tools to grow and to become like Jesus, and certainly to meet Jesus and give your life to the Lord. But the reality is, I've got to work out what that means in my life in the other 365 hours that are usually spent away from this moment. Amen? Church is a great place to meet Jesus, but you work out how to follow him literally everywhere else. Amen? I mean, any of us ought to all be able to come in here, and it ought to be fairly easy to even if it's not real, to at least fake like you are the greatest, most spiritual person on the planet in these settings. Amen? And if it's not fake and if it's real, I'm not accusing anybody of being fake. I'm saying it's easy here to even just fake it, much less actually do it in here amongst the believers. Amen? But it's not till we leave this place where we really figure, that's what Paul's saying. Hey, you were great when I was with you and we were all together, we were doing it, but now I'm not there. Now I'm in jail. Now I'm in another thing. God's moved me to somewhere else, and you're going to have to now work out this thing between just you and God. Amen? And so we have got to work out the thing, watch this, the thing that God's working within. Does that make sense? I want to talk just a few moments today about working it out. Somebody say working it out. Somebody say working it out. So this is the first thing Paul says after he says that. He gives them this strength. He says, you're going to have to work hard, or you're going to have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but this is the reason why. Everybody say, here's why. Anytime in Scripture you see a word like therefore in the King James, or for in a more modern translation, you ought to look and pay attention. That means that word for is connected to the thing and the thought that was right above it, right? So Paul says, you're going to have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling for this reason. And here's the reason. Watch this. For God is working in you. Now, how about you? But that puts a smile on my face, just that thought right there. Isn't that amazing to think about? Think about that for a second, guys. The Creator, the King, the Ruler, the Sovereign God of all of existence and the universe, the Bible says right now, everybody say right now, right now at this very moment. Didn't ask you whether you feel it or not. Didn't ask you whether you believe it or not. Doesn't ask you whether you agree with it or not. But it just says right now, God is working in you. Well, I had a pretty rough week right now. That's cool. God's still working in you, baby. Amen? Well, I don't even know where I'm at on that. I'm trying to figure, hey, God is working in you. I got a whole bunch of bad news this week. God is working in you. I got a promotion this week. God is working in you. I had some stuff really hit my life and figure some things out. God is, no matter what your season is or what your circumstance is, the scripture tells me that God right now is working in you and he's working in me. Somebody say, God's working in me. Why don't you turn to somebody like you believe in and tell them, you know, God's working in me. Amen. Somebody, you may not be able to see it. You may not be able to feel it. I may look as rough as the day is long right now. I may look like I hadn't had no sleep and I've been up pacing the floor at night wondering how it's going to work out. But God is working in me. Amen, somebody. God is working in you right now. The Lord of heaven and earth is working in you. Amen. And he's working, watch this, he's working not around me or outside of me, but in me. Amen. See, so many times, and I'm guilty of this too, so many times, and it's not that we shouldn't, but we have to do it with a balanced understanding, understand what God really wants to do. So many times, so much of my prayer and so much of my energy and so much of my battle is often focused on me needing God to do something around me. Amen? God, I need you to do this. God, I need you to do that. I need you to take care of this. And God loves you enough and is faithful in his promises in his word to do those kinds of things for us because he loves us. But never forget, guys, the real work that God is doing and always wants to do is the work within. Amen? Because it's really how much Jesus loves us. I mean, the same God who created the universe with a word and said, light be, and it was, it's nothing to him to, I mean, think a thought is even too much, is even more effort than it would take God to just do something in this temporary world that we live in. Amen? So it's nothing to him to do that. But his real goal is to work within his sons and daughters. Amen? And because God is a wise father, I think, and I don't necessarily have a scripture to show you this right now, but I just have a feeling that God is a wise father who knows me and you better than we will ever know ourselves, understands that if he just snapped his fingers and fixed everything around us, we would then miss the work that God wants to, that he really wants to do within us. Amen. Because an unfortunate part of us being these broken, fallen, and sinful beings that we are and living in this world that is right now temporarily dominated by sin, part of that means that very rarely, let me just say it this way, very rarely does anyone show up to church and give their life to Jesus because everything was going so well, they just showed up to say, who should I say thank you to for this? Right. It should be that way. It would be wonderful if it was that way. But often, it takes us being at the end of ourselves before we realize, oh, I don't really have any power over anything at all, and I really can't be good enough, smart enough, holy enough, fixed enough, whatever enough to deal. There are still going to be things that happen in this life that I have no control over. I need to find someone who is in control and give my stuff to control of him. Amen? That's just the way it is. That's just the way it works. So if God were to just simply do all the stuff around us that we are so often looking for him to do, we would probably miss a lot of the work that God is actually wanting to do within us. And so the work that God is working in us is to do this. He says exactly what he's doing. God is working in you. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So the work that God is doing within me First has to do with changing and transforming my desires so that I want the things that he wants in my life. And then once he begins to work on my desire within me, he will then begin to give me the strength and the ability to do the thing that he wants me to do. That is the entirety of the work of Jesus through the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? Changing your desire one want at a time, most likely. Amen? See, you didn't show up. Most of us didn't show up to church, and all of a sudden we just showed up one day, prayed a prayer, said, Jesus, come into my heart. And most of us, now sometimes this may happen supernaturally, but for the majority of people, especially who have been living for God for any amount of time and trying to and serving God and having a relationship with Jesus for any amount of time, it's very rarely that you walk in here, get saved, give your life to the Lord, and then walk out, and then everything that you ever had a taste for that was sinful, everything that you ever wanted to do that you knew God didn't want you to do, it's very rarely you just walk out and all of those things are washed away. No, the work within you begins with one desire. The one desire is often, hey, get right with God. Accept Jesus. Amen? Come on, somebody. And this is also important to understand. Listen, none of us, myself included, none of you, none of us are saved on our way to heaven, filled with the Holy Spirit, and fulfilling God's purpose in our life. None of us are doing that because one day we just woke up and realized, oh, this is not good for me. I need to fix my life and get things turned around. And if somebody starts to give a testimony like that around here, you're going to have to get corrected real quick, because none of us are here where we are, wherever you are. None of us are there because we just woke up and thought, oh, I just need to change. No, you dummy. What happened was God worked in you and put a new desire inside of you that you finally surrendered to. Amen? Well, I just woke up one day and came to church and I found God. No, you idiot. You didn't find God. You're too sinful, stupid, and dumb to know where to look. God put a desire in you and led your little monkey self to an altar where he met you. Come on, somebody. That's how this works. It all starts with God. It's not Justin going, Justin, you really need to get your life together. No, it is God working in me saying, I have something more for you. Yeah. To give you the desire. So God gives you a desire. And often it's one desire at a time. Get your life. Give your life to Jesus. Okay, boom. That desire changes. And then, if I stay faithful and if I don't just let that be a one momentary thing, a momentary lack or whatever, and I begin to pursue Jesus, all of a sudden as I begin to let God work in me, he continues to work in me and he begins to shape those desires. Then the next thing might be, hey, man, I really want to know scripture and read the Bible, know God more. Boom, that desire changes. Amen, anybody ever felt that? Hey, listen, I hate to read. I'm not a reader. I'm a listener. I listen to a podcast. I listen to Audible. Thank God for Audible. I've read hundreds of books in the last few years that I never had to read. I never would have read them. Okay? But man, I can't go very long without opening up my word and reading some scripture. That's a desire that comes from God. Amen? I'm not some great person that goes, oh, I just want to love God more. No. That desire is God working in me, and it came from him. Amen? Amen? So God, okay, I'm taking too much time with this, sorry. God is working in you, and the work that he's doing begins with shaping our desires, and then he wants to not only give you the desire to do something, but once we let him begin to get his hands on our will and what we want, and he begins to shape that. Okay, one more thing I gotta say is, listen, understand, guys. Because I think some people think, well, I prayed that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart, or I started coming to church, and it's been a few weeks now, it's been a few months now, maybe it's been a few years now, and you know, I still struggle with these things, and I still catch myself getting tempted by other issues, and I still find myself this and that. Hey, God, nowhere in Scripture does God say you're going to pray, you're going to be perfect, and you're going to have it all figured out. What it does say is that God is working in you. My job is not to go out of here and just have everything under control. My job is to let God continually work in me. Amen? And the thing is, guys, we're so full of sin before Jesus. We're so full of brokenness and hurt. And there are so many things and so many thought patterns and so much abuse and so many issues that God needs to work out. It's not that he can't do it all at once. It's that we can't handle it all at once. So I just got to know that God's working in me and let him lead me down the path. And the job is I got to stay surrendered. Amen, somebody? So this is how this works a lot of times, though, because this is what I did. This is what I do when I'm younger. This is what I still catch myself doing because I'm a man, and I think I can fix it, and I can watch the video on YouTube, and then I can tear apart my engine. You know what I mean? And then it's all broken, and I got to get it towed to the mechanic or whatever. You know, so because I want to try to figure it out at once. But how God often works is he continually works in us, and all of a sudden you'll be going to do the same thing that you've done your whole life. And all of a sudden, it just won't be as fun as it used to be. It just won't scratch the same itch that it used to. You know what's happened? Now, at that moment, you then have a choice. You either ignore because that is the Holy Spirit working in you. Amen? You have a choice to either push that away, ignore that, harden your heart to that, or you surrender to that and go, hey, man, God's doing something right here. My desire is changing. Amen? And then as I surrender my desire, my will, God continues to work, and then he gives me the strength, the power to do what he's changing my will to do. Amen, somebody? Where's Joyce? Yeah, can I talk about you for a second, Joyce? Is that okay? What'd she say? I didn't hear what she said. Not at this point, I don't think. Sorry, she's good. Hey, guess what? A few years ago, when Joyce started coming here to this church, and this is not what we didn't do, God did this in her. This has nothing to do with Red Life or me or anybody else. This is just God's word. I'm just showing you an example. Is it fair to say, Joyce, that you have typically been a very shy, introverted person? Yes? Huh? What'd she say? I second here. Yeah, see what I'm saying? She's like sweating bullets right now. This is her worst nightmare coming true. Okay? She's not the type of person to be put on the spotlight here in the middle of this room. Let me turn that camera on you, Joyce, so the whole internet in the world can know. No, stop. That wasn't me, that was messed up, man. I would never do something like that. No, I'm actually mad I didn't think about it. The other day, she said, hey, Pastor, would it be okay if I made some cupcakes and maybe hung out here in the parking lot on some Saturday and just handed out and had scriptures on them and just use it as a way to maybe invite people to church and talk to them about the Lord. Now, that's not something naturally that you just naturally do, right? You don't have a desire to talk to. No, God worked a desire that is completely opposite to the normal natural desire. But as you stay connected to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, God begins to put desire in you. Amen. Yesterday, she handed out, I don't know, she was 30 or 40 cupcakes, prayed with people, talked to people, invited people, had people crying, just doing a simple thing that God put a desire in your heart to do. That's how this works. Amen? That's God working. It didn't happen overnight. It happened over time. Oh, I'm so supposed to be so far along right now. I've got stuck on this. God's working in you. Say, God's working in me. God's working in you to give you desire and then to give you the power and the strength to do what he's called you to do. So God's working in me, and then what I've got to do is I've got to work out the things or the thing, probably one at a time, that God is working in me. Amen? Okay, so you say, well, what is this? What do you mean work out my salvation? I've got to work out the thing that God is working in me. Amen? And so I want to be careful here. We got to understand this, because there's sometimes in churches, there are two schools of thought. There's some people that would believe and have us to believe that Jesus has done everything that he needs to do on the cross. That 2,000 years ago, when Jesus said, it is finished, he completed the work and has done everything that he ever would need to do for humanity to be saved and to experience and discover the full life of God. Okay? That is true. Jesus said, it is finished. The work is complete. I can't work my way into it. You can't work your way into it. Jesus has done a completed work. Amen? That is true. But it is also true that because Jesus worked completely, for me to experience everything that Jesus completely worked out for me, I'm going to have to completely work out some stuff within me as well. Amen? So Jesus worked. I've got to do some work. And that's what this working out thing is. Does that make sense? And so here's the thing. The complete work of Christ in me needs to completely work its way out to every area of my life. That is working it out. Everyone say working it out. Say it again, working it out. Okay, that word work, I'm going to be wrapped up here in just a couple minutes. Not a couple, like seven. That word work, seven means 21. That word work, no, I'm just going to be 21. That word work in the Greek means to listen, okay? To listen. So the first step, or the number one thing that this working out what God is working in means, is I've got to listen to what God's voice is saying in my life, and then I've got to do that thing. Amen? Amen. Whether it's making cupcakes, whether it's being more consistent in church, whether it's joining a life group. Life groups start this week. Go to redlifechurch.com. We got a slide for that. Put a slide up there. You can scan this QR code right now and figure out a life group to get plugged into. So a couple start this week. Some will start later in the month. Get plugged in. Whatever it is, whatever God's speaking to me to do, listen and then obey. That is the work. That's what I'm working out. God is working in. God is working in. Amen? The question is, am I allowing it to work out? Am I working it out? You follow me so far? Is this okay? I've got to work out what God's working in. I've got to work out what God's working in. The first step to that working out is to obey and listen. And then here's another thing I need to say about this workout. Listen to me very carefully. Do not miss this. Do not miss this. It says very clearly to work out your salvation. Whose salvation? Whose? Your salvation. Does it say work out your husband's salvation? Does it say work out your kid's salvation? Does it say work out your coworker's salvation? Does it say work out your wife's salvation? Work out your own salvation. Amen? Now think about the creator of the universe who we believe is working within us. Look at creation for a second. Look at just look at the people in this room. In this room, none of us look the same. We all got different hair. Even if you got the same color hair, every one of us have a different shade of that same color. You got a chestnut and an auburn and a brown and a dirty blonde and a blonde and a white and a whatever. It's all different, right? We got different shades of skin. All of us have different eye shape. We are all unbelievably and uniquely different. And God, the creator, who's working within each and every one of us, is so creative that he has the ability to create every single person and form them in their mother's womb, the Bible says, and they all come out looking different. That's unbelievable. I can draw one person. He's got a round head and a round body and four sticks that come out for his arms and legs. That's it. That's my ability. But God can create all kind, every kind of different thing. Amen? Not only can he create all look different, God, the creator of the universe, who's working within us, creates each and every one of us have unique tastes and things that we like and things that we're into and talents and abilities. Amen? I could cook cupcakes and hand them out. They wouldn't be that great. I could hand out some steaks. That'd probably be pretty good. Be a little expensive. Lord, I'm not out and volunteering. But we all have different talents and abilities. Josh is a plumber. You don't want me touching your plumbing. I tell you that right now. If I come at your house with a pipe wrench, call the police. I'm doing some damage. Okay? Amen? And God created all those. Some of you like. We all like different types of food. We all like watch different types. We have different types of things that entertain us. We all have different tastes for different hobbies. Some of you guys like hunting. Some of you guys think it's the dumbest thing in the world. Some of you guys love football. Some of y'all think it's the most biggest waste of time on the planet. And it's God that created each one of those things in us. Now, with that kind of a God that's working within us, isn't it highly likely that God working in us is working in each and every one of us in different ways, with different paces, with different steps for the same, to go to the same? Doesn't that make sense? Amen? Which is why the Word of God says that each one of us has to work out my own salvation, because my working it out may look a lot different than you working it out, because God working within me may be dealing with me about some certain areas and some certain things that he's not dealing with you about. He might be calling me and equipping me to do something that he's not calling you to do. Amen? And what church and what Christians, what we love to do is to say, when God's working in me, surely that means God must be doing the same thing in you. So I'm called to Africa, and bless God, everybody better be called to Africa. And if you don't want to go to Africa and spend 6 months out of the year in a hut living amongst the Wasab whatever tribesmen or whatever, then you just don't really love God. That is ludicrous. If you don't get up and read your Bible for 6 hours a day and pray like I do, well, you must not really be serious about God. That's crazy. Amen? If you don't, God is working in us, but we have a God. The God working in us is a God of unlimited creative potential. And so he's working in us. That's why Paul said, we've got to work out your salvation. I'm not responsible to work out your salvation. You're not responsible to work out mine. We are all working out our own thing. Amen? Just like in the natural, when you're working out, well, your goals and what you're equipped and want to do, that's what determines the kind of workout you want to do. Amen? If your goal is to run a marathon, I suggest you do some running. You know? Don't go to the gym and try to squat 800 pounds. If you want to run a marathon, that's two totally different things. You got to run, okay? If you want to be big and strong and look like a gorilla, lift some weights. It's different things. You're still working out, but it's different things depending on your desires, your goal. And the idea is that hopefully it's God. My job is to go, God, I want you to work out your desires in me for my life. Amen? And then that dictates what it looks like for me to work that out. Amen? So if I have a desire in my life if there's a strong desire and calling, and you feel like God is leading you to preach the gospel and preach the Word of God, well, then you might want to spend some more time in the Word. In fact, you better spend some more time in the Word so you can rightly divide the Word of truth and have something to say when you're given an opportunity to say. Amen? Instead of just going up there and like, blah, 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 I didn't really think about it, what I want to say. Blah, blah, blah. What are you even doing up there? Boy, I hate that. That's one of my pet peeves. I hate it. Some of you guys know I've been playing around and doing comedy just as something fun on the side to do for the last couple of years. Man, we go to these things called open mics, which is sometimes fun, sometimes can be pretty brutal. It's where you work stuff out. There's some guys that get up there and go, I didn't really have anything prepared tonight. I'm like, dude, you're wasting everyone's time. Why did you sign up? What are you doing? Didn't have anything to say. Didn't sit down. Say, you follow what I'm saying? If you're called to go to Africa and set up a school, you better get an education. Learn how to be a teacher or whatever. Amen. That's working it out. That's working it out. And there's different workouts. And the way we work it out, the way I work out is going to look different than the way you work out. Amen? So we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. Now, we all have different workouts because we all have different callings, giftings, priorities, but here's a couple of principles I want to pull out of here that I love this term working out, because I think I'm going to pull some principles that I see here out of the physical that apply to the spiritual here. because these principles are going to be universal no matter what type of working out God's called you to do for your walk with him. You ready? The first one is this. If I'm whatever I'm working out at some point in my life, I'm going to have to give maximum effort to it. Amen? Max effort's got to go into it. I got to give it my all. Got to give it my all. In fact, that word, when Paul says work out your salvation in the Greek, it literally translates to full. It means to give all of your energy. Give everything that you have to this, is what Paul is saying in the original Greek writing. It bears that out. It's not just, hey, try a little bit here and there. No, it is work it out. Give yourself fully to this thing that God is doing in you. Amen. In the natural, if you're working out, that would be called max effort work. Because there are times you've got to push yourself to see what you're able to do and to if you want to grow in an area where if you want to run a marathon, you're going to have to continually push the miles that you're able to run at a given time. Amen? And push yourself to and at times past what you think you can do to be able to get to that place that you want to go. Amen? If you want to lift heavy weights, you got to keep putting weights on the bar. And go bigger and bigger and bigger until you get to, if you have a goal in mind. Amen? And that means sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes I'm going to think I can't do it. Sometimes I'm going to be breathing heavy. Sometimes I'm going to think my arms are going to get pulled out of my sockets or whatever else. But I've got to give max effort to it. Amen? The second principle that we see here, that's what it means to work out. The second thing is this. I've got to be intentional about it. When Paul says to work it out with fear and trembling, he's not saying that we need to be shaking and quaking as we come to God because he's so great and we're so unworthy, which he is, but the blood of Jesus has made us worthy. The blood of Jesus over my life gives us access to a holy God. Amen, somebody? Amen, somebody? So it's not that we're to be shaking in fear and trembling because God's going to smite us dead if we mess up. No, the fear and trembling is to say this is serious business. The work that God is doing in me and the work that he's doing in me that he wants me to work out into my life, it is serious, and I've got to be intentional about it. I've got to have a plan, okay? I've got to have a plan, amen? Listen, in any, I don't care whatever your workout goals look like, if you don't plan to do it, you're never going to do it, amen? And if you don't have a plan of what you're going to do, you'll just go in there like okay. I'm not talking about this a lot, but I'm really lifting weights. It's a big part of my life. And so, but if I didn't have a plan, and if I didn't intentionally say, okay, on this day you're going to do this, on this day you're going to do this, on this day you're going to do this, you know what I would do? I would just go in there and lift arms all the time, and I'd have the biggest arms in the world, but I would look like a cartoon. Okay, maybe that's my goal. I don't know. It's not, but. You understand what I'm saying? If I didn't have any intention, I would just go do the stuff that I like to do and never do the stuff that was harder that I didn't want to do, and things would become out of balance. Amen? So I've got to have intention and say, hey, this is serious. I've got to have a plan to work out what God's doing within. Amen? That might mean, I want to know Jesus more, really develop that relationship, have some prayer time. That's been something I've been lacking. Well, you know what? It may mean you got to set your alarm for 15, 20, 30 minutes earlier than you normally do. Amen? Maybe you got to turn the TV off. Watch that show later. Let's quiet some things down. Have that time. Whatever it is, you got to have a plan to be intentional about it. Amen? You say, man, I want to really get connected to church more. Well, you're going to have to plan to do that. You have to plan to do that because there will always be something come up. Amen? There'll always be something come up. There'll always be something to say, yeah, not this week, not this week, not this week. You got to plan to do it. You got to be intentional. You got to take it seriously. Amen? The third thing is this. Once in a while, let me say it this way. I can't be afraid of failure when I'm working something out. Amen? Because failure is part of working it out. Amen, somebody? I read this the other day, and I never noticed it before. Most of us probably know, if you don't, you get a quick lesson here. Most of us, you probably know the story of Peter walking on the water, right? The Bible says the disciples were in a boat. Jesus told them to go on ahead of him. A storm came throughout the sea. And you see this. This story is mentioned in Matthew and in Mark, okay? And in Matthew's gospel, Matthew's version of the story is the one that talks about Peter jumping out of the water. He sees Jesus walking to them. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come on the water and I will." Peter, you know the story. Peter jumps out of the boat, walks on the water, gets afraid when he sees the waves, begins to sink when he takes his eyes off of Jesus. And Jesus has to rescue him, pulls him in the boat, soaking wet, probably felt like an idiot, felt like a failure, right? You know, it's amazing. Mark tells the same story, but he omits the part about Peter. Probably the reason for that is that Mark's gospel was actually Peter's gospel. Because if you read the book of Acts, you'll find out that Mark traveled with Peter. So the likely idea, where Mark probably got his information, was from Peter. And amazingly, when Peter got to that part of the story, he just decided, we're not going to talk about the part I messed up. We're not going to talk about the part that I failed. We're not going to talk about the part where I made a fool of myself. We're not going to talk about the part where I messed up, where I was walking on water, and then Jesus had to come save my butt because I got fearful and I lost faith. But here's the thing. Outside of Jesus, Peter's the only guy who ever walked on water throughout the known history of the world. So, as far as I'm concerned, Peter won. That was a victory. Amen? Sure, it didn't work out the way he thought it was going to work out. Sure, he got some... But even if it was a complete failure, guess what? He still learned. Amen? And listen, when you're working something out, failure leads to growth. Okay? Once in a while, not all the time, and I don't ever go around looking to fail. But sometimes I've got to push myself to the point where I might fail and I may actually fail, but it's a lot of times in those moments of failure where the most growth takes place. Amen? And a lot of times in all the moments leading up to failure was where I was already beyond. Look, think about it. The goal was, yes, to walk on the water to Jesus. You didn't quite reach your goal, but you still walked on water. Pretty cool, right? And so I may have a goal to sit out and say, I'm going to do this thing, and I may not get that thing done. But the steps from where I left to where I may have, quote unquote, failed, pushed me so far beyond and accomplished so much more in my life than I even ever would have thought possible. What I'm trying to say is that part of working it out means I cannot be afraid to fail. And even if something looks like I'm failing or I am failing, working out I'm going to fail towards Jesus, and God is going to redeem and use that failure to bring about even more of him working in me. Amen, somebody? So I got to give max effort, I got to be intentional, and I got to work this thing out sometimes to failure. But don't be ashamed to fail. Don't be afraid to fail, because it's all part of the process. It's all part of God working in us. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. I'm going to be done here in 2 seconds. I just want to read this one last scripture, because I really think that this is the beginning of this letter, and this is all really what Paul's talking about. In Philippians 1:6, he says, I am certain that God who began the good work within you. Man, I love this scripture. This is one you need to write down, you need to remember for the days when it feels like God hasn't spoken to you in a while, and you've read your word for a little while and it feels like you ain't got nothing, and you've come to church for a long time and you haven't felt the Holy Spirit in a minute, and the sermons aren't hitting and it feels like nothing's working. This, you need to remember this. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Till it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. When's the work going to be done? When's the work going to be finished? When Jesus returns. Whatever God's working in us, it won't be finished until Jesus comes back, which means that there will always be work being done in me, which means as long as there is work being done in me, there's going to be work that I'm going to need to work out of my life. Amen. I am always going to be working it out. You are always going to be working it out. Amen. Now that is encouraging. It may not sound like it, but it is. Because what that means is I don't have to judge. Listen, that means that I don't have to judge and pass a sentence and decide on my life based on where I was yesterday or last week or last month or last year. I may have had some failures and some slip-ups there. I may have jacked some things up and some things may not have worked. But hey, you know, here's the thing. Listen, let me say it this way. Listen, don't judge me based on what you saw last year. I was just working that thing out, man. Amen? Don't decide based on where I'm at right now in this moment. Because you're just seeing me work some stuff out. It's not finished yet. Amen? I said it's not finished yet. It's a work in progress. And it's going to be a work in progress until the day I die and I show up in glory. Amen? And it's going to be the same work in progress in you. That means that no matter for good or for bad, amen, or oh me, right now, God is working in me and I'm working it out and it's a work in progress. So if I don't like what I'm seeing and the results of where I'm at right now, that's okay. The story's not over yet. The day's not done. I'm working it out. Come on, somebody. And if I'm up and everything's looking good and things are coming together, hey, you know what that means? That means, man, what else does God have in store for my life? Because I'm just working this thing out too. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to say that wherever we are, you're just working it out, and we're going to keep working it out and keep working it out and keep working it out until Jesus takes us home. Wherever we are, just working it out, baby. We stand up with all over this place this morning. Stand up all over this place. See, some of y'all got discouraged. Well, I know there's been times in my life I've got discouraged because I looked around and thought, man, this is it. This is it. This is, man, I should just quit. If this is, hey, I know I'm the only person who's fleshly enough to ever have this thought. Hey, if this is all this is, I should just quit. It's not worth it. If this is all it is, if this is all following Jesus is, if this is all serving God is, I should just quit and give up. Because if this is what it is, nah, it's not worth the price. But if it's not finished yet, if this is just me working it out, feel the Lord saying that to somebody right now. This is not the finished product. The season you're in right now, thank you, Holy Spirit, is not the finished product. You're just working it out. He's working in, helping us to work it out. Father, right now, I pray that you will help us to work this thing out. Lord, I pray that you will help us to work out everything that you have been working in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you right now for that word right now, just interrupting this moment, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are, this is wherever we, it's not finished yet. You're not finished yet. You're not done with us yet. You have completed the work on Calvary, but you are still working that work in us, God. Holy Spirit, I pray for a supernatural, refreshing, recharging, empowering, and encouraging right now from heaven. God, to continue to work out what you are working in us. In Jesus' name, we are still working this thing out, and we are going to be working it out as you continue to work in until the day Jesus comes back. Amen. How many believe that right now? Amen, somebody? How many are thankful that it's not over yet? You're not finished yet? How many are thankful? Are you thankful? If you believe God's still working some stuff in you and working some stuff out through you, say amen right now. Amen. Amen. Father, right now, we thank you. I pray you bless us, God, this week. Bless your sons and daughters. Lord, I pray, stretch your hands this way. Receive this blessing from the Lord. If you need prayer, there are going to be some folks at this altar to pray with you. If you have a prayer need today, we want to connect and be here for you in Jesus' name. Stretch your hands and receive this right now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and the Lord give you peace.